not going to turn to all of them. We don't have time. If you want to turn to one, you can turn to the first one, and that's Proverbs 4:23-27. And it says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. NIV says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Put away your deceitful mouth and perverse lips, put them far from ourselves, for sure. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Now, it says it in Proverbs, and you know, that book is nothing but wisdom. It's telling us how we can live our lives and be overcomers. So the title of my message says to let your guard down. Don't let your guard down. So let's talk about guard. It means to keep safe. It means to protect from harm and danger. You may watch over a situation. To guard, you are alert. Wherever you are, you're alert. If you're guarding something or someone, you're watching every move they make. And y'all know what I'm talking about. Because you're trying to prevent them from getting out of range for themselves, prevent them and their misconduct. And if anyone looks at you the wrong way, you're like bees on honey. You're going to be right on it. Johnny on the spot. That's not in my nose. I heard that little giggle. 1 Peter 1:13-14 says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We've all found the revelation of Jesus Christ when we got saved. And he's there. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves to former lust and ignorance. Don't conform yourself to those things. But as he who called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That is from how you conduct yourself. What you say and what you do. That's all included in that conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 5, Paul starts talking to the elders. And he gets down to verse 2 through 4. I'm paraphrasing this. He said, feed my flock. Now this is both our pastors and our elders in our church. They're our church leaders. He said, feed the flock, oversee the sheep, not by constraint, but willingly, with a ready mind, not as lords, but be an example to the flock. Now, he goes on to say, and this is the promise, that if they do their part, when the chief shepherd appears, you'll receive a crown of glory, Brother Hall. Gordon, you'll receive a crown of glory. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves to the elder. What is this? Submit yourselves to the elder. Yes. All of you be subject to one another and be clothed with humility. And that's a hard word, humility, for some. For God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due season. Cast all your care on him because he cares for you. Be sober. Be sober. That means well-balanced in everything you do. Self-discipline. And some it's hard. You put a bowl of ice cream in front of me and I'm probably going to eat it. It's hard to have that discipline, Lydia. Those are things that you're going to do if you're vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I get ahead of myself and I put all these words together. Resist and be steadfast in faith. The Lord puts watchmen. And the Lord brought this to my mind. I didn't think of this. All I knew was don't let your guard down. That was all I had for a long time. And all of a sudden that word watchman came to my mind. And my first thought was Ezekiel. The Lord puts watchmen on the wall for a reason. Ezekiel's name meant God strengthens. And Ezekiel was strengthened by an encounter with God. And we're not going to go through that. Y'all can read that in the first chapter of Ezekiel. He had such an encounter with God himself, that it carried him through his whole ministry so that he would be steadfast, he would be faithful, he could be bold, and he could speak the truth. We all want to be like that. We want to be steadfast, we want to be faithful, we want to be bold, and we want to speak the truth. Ezekiel was that watchman. He really was a watchman. And we've already talked about it. That watchman on the wall back then, they guarded, they protected, they watched. Sometimes they were spies. Sometimes they sent a watchman to go scout out the land. And when we see that in the Bible, all through the Bible, when that happened. But he's one that's looking out for my good and your good. He's looking out for us. And guards many times. I called Bradley today and I said, Bradley, would you bring my trumpet? And Jennifer got here and said, did you want Bradley to bring his trumpet? I said, yes, ma'am. I called him. So I said, I want that trumpet because this is going to symbolize something. The guards many times had a trumpet. They blew that trumpet to sound the alarm. That's what it was for. They blew the trumpet, because you're going to hear it a long way off, to sound the alarm, to warn the people. That's what it was for. It was to warn the people, something's coming. It was a very serious matter for a watchman, super serious matter. It wasn't no fly-by-night thing. It was serious. If a watchman warned the people and they did not heed the warning, they didn't listen, they just kept doing their stuff, their blood would be on their own head. And if they heeded the warning, they would save themselves. And here's the kicker. If the watchman sees the sword coming and doesn't blow the trumpet, if he knows trouble's coming, and he does not blow the trumpet of alarm to warn the people, if the sword takes someone's life, then that person's life, God said, he will hold the watchman accountable for their blood, because he didn't sound the alarm. The watchman, we're all should be watchmen. That's my opinion. Oops, sorry. I think what you did. God sent Ezekiel to be a spiritual watchman for the house of Israel. And God called, you know, he didn't really want that job. But after that encounter with God and those visions that God laid on his heart, he didn't have no choice. And God called Israel a rebellious nation, a stiff-necked people, said they were stubborn, they were haughty, they were bull-headed, unshakable. They had their minds made up to do what they wanted to do. That was the God's children. Sounds kind of familiar to today. Because if it feels good, do it. What's wrong is right. It's okay. And what's right is wrong. We got this all backwards. back to this. Ezekiel 3:17, God told Ezekiel, I have made you a watchman to the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word from my mouth and give them warning. Give them a warning from me. And in verse 18, it basically says, if the wicked turns from their wicked ways, it will save their life. It will save their life. But if you don't warn them, their blood is on your hands. That's pretty. Yeah. In the Old Testament, everything was physical. But when Jesus died on the cross, it changed everything. That day changed everything. And then in the New Testament, we don't have gated walls out here that watchmen are on the walls watching. But we have church leaders in this house that are watching. We saw a group of people here Sunday that are physically watching our building. But the church leaders, Brother Hall and Brother Brandon and the elders in our church, they're spiritual watchmen of this house. They have a responsibility. But we do too. Because it says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves to them. For they watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy, not grief. For that is unprofitable to you. He's not, Brother Hall couldn't, we don't have no hitness on the head. He's got so much love coming out of him that you can't help but listen to me, you know. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds. We know that's true. We know our fight is a spiritual fight. It is life versus darkness. It is right versus wrong. It's either right or it's wrong. I can't tell you how important that is. Because we're fighting a war in the spirit. And we have to not let our guard down. We have to build a wall around us and not let it down. And I don't mean that we don't confront. Because sometimes you have to confront. Sometimes you've got to say something. It's a fight for life and death or heaven and hell. We have a choice. It's all in us. So what does it mean to let our guard down? I'm going to use Brother Hall's famous line. I'm so glad you asked. I just couldn't wait to put that in there. Actually, I didn't put it in there. I just now put it in. Not guarding ourselves. We're not being cautious. That's what we're not doing if our guard's down. We're not concerned about trouble or danger. Be off guard puts us and others in harm's way and in a potential danger. We're doing it to ourselves. We open doors for the enemy to come in. We aren't praying like we should. We stop reading our Bible like we should. We didn't like something that was said. We stop going to church. We get sidetracked with things. We get bogged down with life. Then depression comes to visit our house. Before you know it, we're thinking, nobody knows what I'm going through.
No, the trouble I see. No.
I told him this afternoon, I said, that is changing all of a sudden. What's that line in line for you? I said, you've got to do it. You know, the list of this is endless. We all got troubles. We all got situations. We all got things going on. Everybody has it, every family. But there's one thing, the road that leads to is death. It leads to death. If we stay there, it's hell. Bluntly, the good news. Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. We have to make that choice. Nobody can make that for us. Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other one, or he will despise one and hold to one. But you can't serve God and the devil. The Bible says man, you can't serve God and man. You can't do it. You can't do it. It's impossible to do it. Psalms 141:3-4 says, David prayed. Here's what David prayed. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity. David always had a heart that cried out to God. I think that's why they taught the Lord said he's the apple of my eye. His hand was always on David because he always cried out to God. I want to be like that. In Psalms 19:12-14, it says, cleanse me from my secret faults. We've all prayed that prayer. Cleanse me from my secret faults. Keep me from presumptuous sins. That's just flat out doing it on purpose. Man, we plan the attack and we're going to do it. Let them not have dominion over me. That's what David said. Don't let it keep me from doing willful sins. I do it on purpose because it feels good. Because I wanted to do it. Let them not have dominion over me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. That's what he prayed. John 10:10. We've heard this a lot lately. The thief cometh not but to steal and kill and to destroy. But we don't want to stop there in that verse, because now he's going to give us a promise in the same verse. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. If we just give it to him, that's a promise we can stand on. We can stand on that promise. We can take it to the bank. 1 Timothy 6:10. This one really gets us all in a lot of trouble. The love of money. It's not the money. It's the love of money. It's the root of all evil. That's a strong word, all. All evil. Which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. But don't stop there. Don't stop there. We've got to keep reading. But you, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you are called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. We've all confessed that we want to fight that good fight of faith. We've all stood and said, I just want to be that warrior for the Lord. I want to be that watchman for the Lord. I just want to be a vessel used by God. That's many witnesses, because everybody's heard everybody in here say that sometime or another. Maybe not in those words, but the same definition. You wouldn't be here if you didn't have a desire to serve the Lord. Paul wrote in Romans 7:19, and he had problems, just like we have. For the good I would do, I do not. But the evil I would not do, I do it. He's just like us. I remind God every now and then, I'm going to get this rabbit trail in just a minute. I remind God every now and then, now God, when you were on this earth, you were all God and you were all man. But I have this problem. I'm all man. I'm not without sin. We are not without about keeping our hearts guarded. Sometimes we think ourselves a lot more highly than we ought. We think we're something when we're really not anything, except the child of the Most High God, which is quite a bit. That's everything to me. But in that particular scripture, it didn't stop there. God knew the flesh was weak. He knew our weakness. Because he says, but God is faithful. And I love all these scriptures, but I really like this one when I was younger. I used it a lot. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able. He will not suffer you to be tempted above what you're able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. We think we can't stop something midstream, and we can. We have to gird up the loins of my mind. We have to speak to ourselves. And I'm just going to keep on going right here, because I'll get on a rabbit trail. I know Brenda. Romans 12, 1 and 2. You know, Romans was my thing when I first got saved. It was Romans. I was told years ago in the Baptist church, you read Romans, because it's going to tell you how to live your life. 1 and 2. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's the least. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. For I say, through grace given unto me to every man among you, not to think, and just come right back into that other one, more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think soberly according, this is part of the scripture. Think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. He's given us a measure of faith. The chapter goes on to say that there's many members in this body, but there's many members in this body. We're all important. There is nothing, not one member in our bodies we take it for granted, but there's not one member in our body that we would want to do without. Now, Gordon, poor thing, he got no leg on that one side. And he misses that, not a real one, and he misses that leg. And he's got lots of spares, but sometimes that little toe starts bothering him, and he's got to stomp that foot, that artificial foot, to try to get it. What's wrong? I used the wrong leg. Sorry. Stomp that so they can get that out. Maybe it's a Charlie horse in the calf, and he don't have a calf. You know, you take for granted things in your body, and when you don't have it, things are different. So there's no big eyes and little ears. We're all a member of the body of Christ. Deborah's a server. Deborah's a keeper. A keeper of things. She is a keeper of things. She does things that a lot of us don't do. And we take it for granted. Because we can go down to the gym and everything's great. We didn't have to do anything to get it great. You know what I mean? All the time. We take each other for granted sometimes. And we shouldn't. Thank you, Deborah, for all you do. I'm serious. Thank you for all you do. That's not in my notes either, but James 4:7. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. How many times have we said that? Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But it's amazing when we get ready to do something that we know we shouldn't be doing, that's not going to happen. Just as you start doing something you shouldn't be doing. That's speaking from experience. Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then in Hebrews it says, but without faith it is impossible to please God. It's impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must first believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Amen. Philippians says, be anxious for nothing. Many times we get anxious. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And guess what happens? And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. It surpasses all understanding. It will guard your heart. Not just your heart. It will guard us. Finally, brethren, I love this. Whatsoever things are honest, I can't help but say that. Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, think on these things. Think on these things. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, have a testimony, we need to tell it. Because that's the good report. We need to hear the good report. On the 21st day of March, Mercy Song Revival sang at the church in Richardson, Texas. Well, Gordon was going to speak with her. I wasn't thinking about that. I woke up early that morning. I don't know where it came from, except that it just had to be the Lord. Maybe He was getting me prepared for this, but it was in Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. I couldn't stop saying it. I got out of bed, I just kept saying it, Brother Hall. I just kept saying it. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. So when we get to the car, bless His heart, he couldn't even meditate on the sermon for the day or think about songs. Because I was too busy saying, I got to read it right now, Gordon. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Deuteronomy. And so for the next hour or hour and 20 minutes, however long it took us to get there, I'm still in Deuteronomy. I just kept on reading. Says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. You shall love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. All these words which I commanded you this day shall be in your heart. And that means your mind too. You shall teach them to your children. And you're going to talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down. And when you rise up, you shall bind them on your hand. And they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You're not going to look to the left or to the right. Because you're going to look straight ahead. You shall write them upon the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And I'm not going to go into all, everything that means, but just think of it. Oh, I kept on reading. I couldn't stop. I just couldn't stop. Bless His heart, He didn't say a word. We finally stopped and got there, and I said, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. I didn't even give you time to think about this. Because I was so engulfed in, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And I put that one little phrase on Facebook, and my sister-in-law, Lord's sister, came back, and she said, Brenda, that is a scripture that we recite 3 times a day. From the time our children are born, by the time they can talk, they know that scripture. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And I can't tell you the feeling that came over me. And I've still been doing it, but it's because about God. We need to talk about the ways of the ways of this word. You know, maybe not all the time. Yeah, we watch Blue Bloods. You know, Gordon gave that away Sunday, I think it was. I'm not saying don't watch TV. But sometimes you just need to talk about the Lord. Sometimes you just say, Lord, you're just not going to believe what happened to me today, and I did that today. And we don't need to let our guard down. Whatever we do, we can't let our guard down. We can walk in the peace of God. It doesn't matter the situation you're in or the storm you're facing. We can have peace with God. No matter where we are or where we've been, we can have peace with God. It doesn't matter how much money I've got in my pocket, how much money I got in my bank, how much money I don't have. I can have peace with God. And you have to declare it. No matter if your cupboards are full with food or they're half full with food, we can have peace with God. You can have fancy clothes. You can have hand-me-downs. You can have peace with God. Don't be discouraged by what you see in the news or what you hear from others. We can have peace with God. Because we're going to believe His report. We can walk with assurance. He is for us and not against us. And we are on the winning side. We can walk in confidence that our steps are ordered of the Lord. David said the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. My steps are ordered by God. And if I choose to follow this book and I choose to live on the precepts and the promises of God, my steps are ordered of the Lord. And my ways are blessed in Him. Blessings will overtake you, I'm telling you. We can walk with courage and determination to follow Him and make right choices. We have the power to make right choices. If we fall down, we repent. And we get right back up. If I hurt Amber's feelings and I realize I've hurt Amber's feelings, my job is to go to Amber. Amber, would you forgive me? I've hurt my sister's feelings before, and I've had to ask for forgiveness. I've hurt my husband's feelings before, and I had to ask for forgiveness. When the Lord tells you, I don't know what you're grinning about, but yeah, I've done it to Him too. We have to make things right when we slip. Sometimes we may not know we've done it. But that's when we have to go to Him and say, you really hurt my feelings. This is what you said, and I'm not sure what you meant by it. That is not wrong. It's not wrong. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage. Joshua 1:6, be strong and of good courage. Verse 9, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. Chapter 10 in Joshua, fear not. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not. David said, wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Sometimes to be strong, we have to wait. Said that so eloquently Sunday. Wait on the Lord. We can walk and have dominion in this world because we have authority as a believer. Mark, it said, verily I say it, Mark 11:23, for verily I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, here and here, but believes those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. You've got to speak it out. In chapter 16, and these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They're going to cast out devils. that we know. Because if we know that we know that we know, nothing can stop us. That's why it's imperative. We read this word. We hear this word. We memorize this word. We eat this word. We have to. If we're not grounded in God's word, we're just going to be plain old wishy-washy. We'll be wishy-washy. Can't ever make up our mind. Can't ever do anything for God. Because we're wishy-washy. Because we don't know that we know that we know. We can speak the truth of God's word in love and declare it over our lives. These are just familiar scriptures. And we need to let them come to our subconscious up there and conscious minds. It's time to stand on the promises of God and fight the battles of our mind right here. So we're going to look at Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Because I felt like we have to blow this trumpet sometimes as a watchman to say, here's a warning. We've got to get ourselves in order. We got to do the right thing. We got to stand up for what's right. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, it's pretty important that he said, put it on, because you might not be able to stand against the wiles of the devil if you don't have it on. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. I'm almost done. Last page. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. We need to buckle up that belt of truth, guys. Around our waist, because it's going to hold everything in place. You know, these are your vital organs right here. We got to protect it. We got to buckle that belt. We can't go without the belt of truth. Cannot do it. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. That righteousness of God never fails us. Never fails us. Through the power of His Word, it protects. It protects our heart. It kills our flesh, and it defeats the enemy. That's what that breastplate of righteousness is going to do for us. And our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Those sandals, they say, were very thick. They were perfectly around the ankles so that they would not get any blisters on their feet. And the bottoms of it had spikes on them. So when they stepped, they were planted. Well, what brought that to my mind was, that's our foundation. If the Lord and this word is our foundation, there's nothing that can stop us. Nothing that could stop us. Let's get back up here. There it is. And he says, Ephesians 5, we'll go back over to it, verse 19, speak to yourselves quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. That's what our shield of faith is going to do. And basically, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It's faith. It's faith. We're going to lift up that shield of faith, and your enemies are going to scatter. Let your faith rule and reign in your hearts by standing on the promises of God. Be unshakable and unstoppable in your pursuit to know Him. And take the helmet of salvation. And take the helmet of salvation. Protect your mind and thoughts. He gives us power over the enemy through the Word. But this Word is not good alone in this book. If we don't speak it out of the abundance of our hearts and our minds, we have to speak it. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, I already said that, speak the Word. For the Word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts. That He tells me before I do anything bad or irrational. And we're all guilty. We get upset about something, we go fly off the handle. Most women do. I'm just being honest. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not. Rightly dividing the Word of truth. Daily we have to guard ourselves. We do. It's our job to guard ourselves. It's our job to guard our families. My boys don't live at home anymore. But if I was to see them doing something they shouldn't be doing, I might say something. Then it's their choice because it's off. I blew the trumpet. Then it's not, their blood's not going to be required on my head. It'll be required on their own heads. We have to speak the truth in love. My grandchildren, when they're in the car with me, and it's just us, especially Jennifer and Aaron's kids, we start talking about things. This is what we do. This is what we don't do. And this is how we act, especially when one gets in the car crying because somebody's picking on them. You know? Like Gordon said, we got to walk it out. If you're not sure what to do in a situation, that's why we have pastors. That's why we have elders. Because they watch for our soul. So today I thought of this song, and I told Gordon, and we're going to play this song. Everybody in here is going to know this song. But it's exactly what I'm trying to say to you. Don't let your guard down. can be that mighty army that blows that trumpet in Zion to declare that you are Lord and that, God, your ways are perfect. And I thank you, God, for your word that gives us strength to walk on, that gives us strength to rise up, and gives us strength to declare your word boldly. And I thank you, Lord, for the people that are here and those that may have watched online, God. I just ask that each one of us be touched and go home a different way. In the name